Welcome to another exciting episode of Channel Chatter Live, where we take a deeper dive into recent news, events impacting channel sales, marketing, and operations. I'm your host, Lisa Hyatt, and today I'm welcoming Ziff's Director of Growth Marketing, Jonathan Pack, to the show. Welcome, Jonathan. That sounds so weird. Everyone, I call him J-Pack. Everyone calls him J-Pack. Hey, J-Pack.
Hey, Lisa. Thanks so much. I'm super excited.
I'm super excited to have you here. How you been hanging in through all of this?
I've been doing well. My wife and I have just been, we've been taking the quarantine pretty seriously. I think we've left our house a grand total of 6 or 7 times in the last 2 months or so. So we're losing our gourds a little bit, but we're hanging in there.
I was actually just listening to the gourds before we got on here.
Ooh, nice.
I want to talk to you about digital marketing. We've had a lot of news lately about, you know, Ziff's excitement about the Forrester Wave, their leadership position in digital marketing. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that. But first, I want to talk about what brought you to digital marketing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually a funny story. So like 12 or 13 years ago, a long-term girlfriend and I broke up. Well, she broke up with me. we lived near each other in upstate New York. And we lived like a 5 or 10 minute walk from each other, which for like a 19-year-old who had just been broken up with was way too close. So I ended up applying at a family camp up in Madomic, Maine, and I got the job. So I moved to Maine for the summer, and I was teaching, of all things, tennis and black and white photography.
Wow.
Yeah. So 1 week, this woman named Christina Halverson, her and her 2 kids showed up, and we instantly connected. So Christina is this like super cool, opinionated, badass mom who runs a really successful content marketing agency. She actually owns the domain name contentstrategy.com. So like,
wow,
you know, she's like pretty OG.
Smart.
But we developed this really great relationship. Mm-hmm. We started talking about kind of like marketing and what she did. And then I bought her book, Content Strategy for the Web. And I bought I think it was like an old Wiley book about SEO. And that fall, I applied for an internship at an agency in New York called E-Commerce Partners. And now, 12 years later, here I am.
I think that's always so interesting. People, you know, have a tendency to say, you know, this is what I'm going to be when I grow up, or this is my path. And so few people do that. It comes down to meeting different people. And it sounds like Christina was one of those really impactful people in your life.
Yeah, she was. And I didn't meet enough professional skateboarders, so that that did not pan out.
That did not pan out. I could have probably introduced you to a few. So, hey, I was mentioning the Forrester Wave, the TCMA Wave that just came out, and that's through channel marketing automation. I know that Ziff grabbed high scores, 5 out of 5, in a ton of categories. Related to digital marketing, including digital asset management, marketing vehicles, digital marketing execution. A lot of stuff sounds like it right in your purview. Talk to me a little bit about why you believe Ziff keeps grabbing those top scores in categories like that and why it's important.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, Ziff has been, you know, doing this, this being the channel marketing space for a long time now. I think it's over 12 years. And in an industry like, you know, marketing tech, if you can't offer a solution that, you know, it's both built on years of experience and best practices from, you know, everyone who has input in the company, mm-hmm. but also nimble enough to adapt to like the current trends, especially in something as quickly changing as marketing. If you can't do both of those things, your business is going to have a tough time existing. And these evolutions in sales and marketing tech, they've been, you know, super rapid fire pace on the direct side, especially.
Yeah.
I think the channel has been a little slower to adapt, but I think that's what Ziff has been able to capitalize on and do really well. I think the digital marketing capabilities that we can offer are trending in line with the direct marketing side of things, which puts someone like Zift like leaps and bounds ahead compared to other, you know, indirect marketing solutions. And I think that's pretty critical to a successful business, because your indirect side of things can't be living and, you know, utilizing technology and strategies from 2000 while your direct side of things is in 2020. That's not a harmonious relationship.
Yeah. So talk to me. You are one of those sort of future forward looking at those trends. What are some of the digital marketing trends that you're seeing that really excite you, that get you jazzed up?
The one I'm most excited for, and I'm seeing it in more and more areas, which has just been amazing, is just what's called like breaking the machine. Like some time ago when, you know, marketing was primarily, you know, brand focused, things were a little tough to measure. And, you know, marketing had this kind of black box around it. It was really hard to measure our efficacy. And, you know, we were kind of a black hole of money. And then the book Predictable Revenue came out and the needle swung so far in the opposite direction. And especially for SaaS companies, marketing just became this math formula. It was, you spend X amount of money, generate X amount of cold leads, you know, call them inbound if you want to call them inbound, feed all of these leads to entirely too many sales development representatives, and, you know, rinse and repeat and grow your business.
Yeah.
And I think that idea of like a predictable formula won't ever go away. And I don't think it should, because, you know, your business needs some element of predictability. But there's been this really awesome shift in the last couple of years to empowering folks within your company to be the face of the brand as means of growth.
Based on your own experience in digital and growth marketing, what best practices would you share, particularly like right now?
So I think the first best practice is, you know, to talk to your prospects like human beings. You know, if you, a serious brand doesn't always have to equate to the serious buttoned up communication strategy, brand guidelines, blah, blah, blah. I think it almost feels disingenuous at a certain point. I think you want to talk to somebody like you're talking to a well-trusted friend. You know, ask what's bothering them, what's keeping them up at night, and, you know, how can you help? Because you may be representing your brand, but at the end of the day, you know, you're just a human being talking to another human being. I think you don't have to, you know, let this serious buttoned up brand image get between that. Mm-hmm. Kind of going back to this idea of breaking the machine, it's don't be afraid to do things that are tougher to measure or don't fit into that equation I was speaking to. And it's all about that brand building. So when you look at folks like Jake Dunlap over at Scaled, or Katie at Patient Pop, or Chris Walker at Refine Labs, these guys are on LinkedIn for what's got to be a minimum of like 1 to 3 hours a day. And they're just dropping strategic knowledge in their respective fields. And there's no call to action. There's no white paper to download. There's no tracked link that drops me into a nurture program for their 8,000 SDRs to reach out to me. There's no none of that. But in a year's time, given all that, if I'm looking for sales consulting or RevOps consulting, or, well, Patient Pop is actually a growth platform for healthcare practices. So unless my career takes a hard pivot, perhaps we will not talk. But if I want RevOps or sales consulting, I'm going to go to Jake or I'm going to go to KD.
Yeah.
Because, you know, clearly it's working. Like I am talking about these guys on a podcast right now.
I love that. I really love that. That's really cool. You said you had three, wasn't it? Three or four?
I do. I have one more, and I'm going to swing like hard right here and then specifically talk about numbers.
Oh no, I'm closing my ears. La la la. All the math people jump in. No, but this is really important. What do they say? If you can't measure it, it doesn't matter.
Can't measure it. You can't manage it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think focus on lead value versus lead volume. If your marketing team is generating, we'll call it 300 marketing qualified leads per month, and of those 300 that you're passing to your sales team, sales is closing 5% of them. That means sales is getting 15 deals. Say the average contract value of those deals is $10,000. Of those 300 MQLs, you've generated $150,000 in revenue. So every lead that your marketing team generated was worth $500. Now, the other side of the spectrum there is, say your marketing team is only generating half that. They're generating 150 marketing qualified leads, but they did a ton of good work to make sure that these leads are perfectly matched to your ICP, your buyer persona. These folks want to talk. So those 150 that you're passing over to sales, say sales is able to close 15% of those. So we have half the amount of MQLs, but sales is generating 23 deals. With that same average contract value, that's $230,000 in revenue. So that's approximately $1,500 value per lead, which is triple scenario one.
That's amazing, yeah.
In scenario two, your sales team, they're working fewer leads. They can spend more quality one-on-one time with the leads that want to have these conversations. Sales has more trust in the leads that marketing is generating, therefore more trust in your marketing team. And then the infrastructure that your marketing team has set up to generate these leads, it's less strained and they're burning through fewer leads. It makes everyone's life a heck of a lot easier, and you have better results at the end of the day.
So if a channel marketing leader isn't seeing results like that, what should they, you know, take the time to learn or discover, or what should they really be, you know, focusing on in terms of blocking and tackling?
Yeah, absolutely. So this first one by no means is groundbreaking advice, but just, you know, figure out where you're losing people. I think when goals are missed, especially between marketing and sales, emotions can run super high. It can be super tense. You know, marketing points at your sales team, sales points at marketing. And, you know, specifically on the channel side of things here, if your partners are beginning conversations with tons of awesome prospects, but you're losing all of them when sales gets to talking about the product, like, you know, clearly something is missing, something is off. So, you know, the collateral that you're supplying to your partners, are they misrepresenting your product, or have you not equipped partners with the tools or collateral they need to overcome objections that they're hearing every day? Mm-hmm. Or is the messaging on your corporate website, you know, radically different than the messaging partners are using? Because that's going to create an incredibly disjointed experience for the prospects. So, you know, all of those are possibilities, but you need to break it down and change things one at a time. See what works, see what doesn't work. Don't change 80 things at once, because, you know, you might see an improvement, but you don't really know where it improved.
I think that's great advice. I know right now a lot of people are feeling frazzled or feeling that pressure to try to do everything all at once. And I love that, like, maybe that's not the time to do that. You know, do take a little bit of time to take a deep breath, test some things, see what's working, and learn from it.
Yeah. And, you know, I totally agree. And, like, especially in this weird climate we're in right now, you know, speaking from experience, like, it's really hard to only do one thing and test it for a week or two. But, you know, it's important.
What else would you recommend, JPEG?
Yeah. So I think put aside any notion of this separate channel marketing and channel sales funnel. At the end of the day, it's the prospect funnel. It's the buying funnel. Mm-hmm. They're the same thing. You know, just each side of your team influences that funnel in various capacities and, you know, in different means. But, you know, at the end of the day, the prospect has experienced every single part of that funnel. And if your messaging and the experience that you provide these prospects is not in line, again, it's going to create this really weird, disjointed experience.
Yeah.
And then, you know, also to that capacity is, you know, sit down with your sales friends who are selling through the channel. You know, I think I don't want to diminish the importance of, you know, like analysts and, you know, market research firms, but your sales team is the front line of the market, and near every single prospect they talk to has some preconceived notion of you and your company from the work that your channel marketing team is doing. And if you're ignoring your sales team and you're ignoring the knowledge that they can bring to the table, you're ignoring what could be your best source of market research that you've ever had. you know, use that qualitative data, that qualitative feedback to make decisions, and then measure it quantitatively and bring that back to your sales team. You know, make their input, valued, make sure they feel valuable.
Yeah, I'm guessing too that that's going to help, you know, build that bridge between sales and marketing. If you're saying, hey, we value your opinion, we value your input, we want to know exactly what you're experiencing, that might break down some of those walls you were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Like, at the end of the day, you're the same team, you're striving towards the same goals. And if you're not, you know, if you're not working together, if you're not scratching each other's back to get to that end goal, then you're just getting in each other's way. And there's no point in that.
You and Molly, your lovely wife, have been, I think, sharing an office space. I see Molly in the background. So what's going on there?
Yeah. So Molly, my lovely wife, her and I started working from home during this COVID crisis, I think 2 days apart. So I have a desk in my bedroom, but we decided that, you know, let's convert the kitchen, our tiny, tiny apartment kitchen, into a co-working space, if you will. So, you know, her and I sit on opposite ends of the table. It's a great situation because I can just, you know, reach over and touch my oven or,
where there's bread baking. I hear there's bread. You have a reputation now as a bread baker.
There is bread. So I primarily bake sourdough bread, and I've been doing it for probably 2.5-3 years now, which has actually been really awesome because in this this weird time in the world, so many people have picked up baking, and you know, a bunch of my friends have started picking it up, and it's been really great because I've been able to, you know, give feedback, give advice, and I recorded like a series of 10 videos for a buddy one Saturday. It took all day, just like helping to teach him how to bake bread.
We need to see these videos.
I have them on my computer. I'll share with you.
So with all this baking, are you doing anything to stay fit? I know you're a big runner.
I've been doing as much running as I've been able to.
Which side of the tunnel are you on? I know that you're either in New York or New Jersey.
So we live on the Jersey side.
Okay.
We're right outside of Jersey City.
Uh-huh. That's a hot spot.
Yeah, it is. And it's been really interesting. So I would say, I mean, approximately a month ago, you know, everyone was still outside hanging around in parks. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, maybe like 3 weeks ago, like it got like really, really pretty serious here. You know, mm-hmm. folks, it's pretty rare to see someone outside unless they are exercising in some capacity. But, you know, even that, it's all social distance exercise, which is amazing to see.
Yeah.
And like there is this strange sense of normalcy now. Like it's a weird world to say, like, it feels normal now.
You know, I always say at the end of the podcast, stay safe and stay kind. You're already staying kind. Sounds like you're staying safe. And just run really fast if people are not being nice to you.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming in. And thanks, listeners, for joining us again on Channel Chatter Live. You can learn more at ziffsolutions.com. Come back and listen to us again soon. And you guys, stay safe, stay kind.